WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are just...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe. It really is that simple. If you also want to follow the channel or just hang out and chat or listen to the archive, we are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. Doing a thing. At twitch.tv, substitute live, wildtalkradio.com, recordingshow.com. You tweet us at wildtalkradio, at recordingshow, at Lindsay Ward throughout the night. We got things to talk about to you, with all you tonight, here on the show.
We do. We have news, we have notes, we have NXT. We're talking TakeOver tonight. We'll be doing that review. And yeah, it should be a fun little show. Because we have like 2 weeks worth of news we have to go through. Because, you know, SummerSlam happened and we couldn't do news.
SummerSlam happened, we couldn't do news. But we also have news of our own.
Mm-hmm.
We're available on podcasting platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. You can now add Amazon Music to that list.
We joined the Jeffrey Bezos crew. Woo!
So as you see on the screen right now, we're available on Amazon Music as well. So there you go.
Ding.
So the podcast is up. Just search The Rack Radio Show. So wherever you get your podcast, you can get The Rack.
We get fancy up and it's, you know what, because... Now we're on Amazon.
Now we're on Amazon. Speaking of Amazon, if you link to Twitch account, it's called Twitch. It's called Prime Gaming Support the Channel. By clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen, ding, hitting it a second time because she just hit it.
You're a hoe. Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh my God, y'all.
Yes.
All right, let's get into news brought to you by our friends over at MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. And speaking of podcasts and deals and everything, WWE announced that they are inking an exclusive deal with Spotify to host their podcasts and The Ringer to develop new slate of wrestling shows. Yeah, so
Bill Simmons and the crew are going to be behind helping work out those new podcasts for Spotify. But to get for Bill Simmons, because he's a big wrestling fan from a long, long time. So that's a huge get. And that's cool. They're on Spotify, like we are.
We're available!
You can sign us, too.
You can sign us, too! We're available, if you'd like to. I mean, you know. And you can re-sign Bray Wyatt for more money. Just saying. Just, I mean, they're dropping a Christmas-themed Fiend Punk, like, Funko thing. They're just gonna melt that bitch for all he's worth. So, I mean, the least they could do is rehire the man. By the way, in case you didn't know, there's, like, a Christmas-themed glow-in-the-dark Fiend Funko Pop coming. It's at Walmart. It's on Funko's Twitter. So just so everybody's aware, in case you're interested and you would like to support Bray Wyatt, even though I don't think he's getting any of the money. I think it's all going to Funko and WWE, but he might get a little bit. I don't know. Anything helps at this point, right? Right? That's what we're doing? Okay. All right. Moving on. Molly Holly and Sean Daivari have been working as full-time WWE producers, so congratulations to them.
Big stuff. They're now officially signed. Molly's been working part-time for a little bit. She got her feet under her, and now signed. Same with Sean Daivari, who's been, I think, back and forth, and now it's full-time.
So did she stop being a teacher?
I think so.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you'd have to give up the teaching thing.
Yeah, you're going to have to give up the teaching thing, because you got to travel with the house shows and all the things and the bobs and whatnots.
Yeah. So WWE and Enfield Town Football Club announced a partnership for the 2021-2022 season in the UK, so that's exciting.
That's a good thing. Triple H was very excited to announce it. So that's for an entire season, and yeah, cool. WWE's a big part of it. That's spreading the NXT UK crest will be on the home shirts for the men and women, I think.
It's a good cross-promotion deal. It seems like they're doing a lot of that here this week, where they're getting themselves out into other sports, not just adhering to wrestling, but they're branching out into football and baseball, because they also announced that WWE Championship replica titles featuring your team's logo and colors on the side plates will be available to purchase in 2022.
That's cool. So all the titles they give to people when they win things, that now you can buy them. You have your own, you know, Braves championship.
Because it's the only way we're ever going to get it.
You never know. But, so that's cool. It's them using their what's it called, license and spreading it out with other license properties. It's cool.
It's cross-promotion. It's getting their name out there further. There's obviously a demand for it, which is why they're doing it, because I think a lot of people would love to have, like, their favorite sports team on a WWE championship, which is what they, like you said, give to all the sports teams when they win a title. So it's like, I would really love, you know, for some people, it's like, I would really love to have, like, for example, a Patriots WWE title or a Green Bay title or a Yankees title or whatever. And it's like, I'm surprised they didn't just create the side plates and sell the side plates, and they may at some point. But for now, I think it's the whole kit caboodle. You have to buy the title with the side plates.
I believe we'll know more next year when all of the stuff comes out.
Yeah, but it's still cool. Like, it's them branching further out into pop culture, which is what they want to do. They want to continue to be more relevant. I think the way that they're kind of growing and going is that they're trying to embed themselves more into sports in other ways and into pop culture in other ways.
Apparently, they'll also create two sides will create custom side plates and unique Lucha Libre masks as a part of this deal.
For, like, baseball?
Yeah.
So you can have, like, a Yankees-themed Lucha Libre mask?
Apparently.
Oh, my God, you can be Knuckleball Schwartz.
You can be Abe Knuckleball Schwartz.
There you go. It was announced, and the trailer dropped, that WWE 2K22 will be coming out in March of 2022. This is kind of a do or die situation for 2K, as apparently the relationship between WWE and 2K is not that wonderful. And if the title does not do good this coming year, then WWE may be shopping.
Yeah, they could be shopping the license elsewhere, because I think it would have one more year after that. So it's going to be an interesting situation coming up. More details will be out in January The director of the game may release stuff early if he can, but they're focusing heavy on getting the game where they want it to be, with a new engine, new control system, new graphics. They're trying to make their best of it, and now it's coming out in March, right, probably around WrestleMania season, so it'll be a good get for wrestling fans. So there you go. If you play WWE 2K19 or 2K20, the online servers will stay up until launch of the new game. People were worried about that. So there you
go. Yeah. Ash, Brian's contract, he didn't get released. It expired.
Yeah.
And so technically he could show up anywhere at any time. He's not under a no-compete.
Yeah, he was not released. He was his contract expired.
And I think it expired, was it back in May? April, May?
End of April, I think.
Yeah. WrestleMania for sure.
It was right after, it was like 2 weeks after WrestleMania when he did the match against Roman on SmackDown.
Yeah.
That's when his contract officially ended.
But Brie had just had their son, not this year, he just turned one, but Brie had had Buddy and he had been out with Buddy, and I think that's where he's been. It's just been off being a dad, enjoying his time, so he's just been chilling.
He wanted to take time to figure out what his next move is, and we'll talk about that here in a moment.
Yeah. So, moving on, WWE Day One.
Terrible name.
Why? It's an awful name. Is the name of the Atlanta pay-per-view that will be on January 1st, 2022.
You know, Day One. It's terrible. Like, I'm going to challenge for the WWE Championship. I challenge you to imagine for the WWE Championship at Day One. Huh.
I mean, they tried.
They're trying something. It's not a big, you know.
Was New Year's Evil not taken? Like,
they had New Year's Resolution.
Yeah, they had New Year's Resolution. Like, what's wrong with that? Like, you couldn't bring that back?
I mean, okay. they could have, but they went with Day One.
Okay.
Not Day One-ish. They just Day One.
Tickets are not on sale yet if you want to go.
They'll be on sale very soon.
WWE Crown Jewel was announced. They are going back to Saudi, in theory, if everything, you know, cooperates. It's scheduled to take place in October of this year.
Most likely October 21st, if all things go to plan.
Yeah, we'll see if they do, depending on, obviously, you know, COVID.
COVID and everything up in the air, but that's the plan. Thursday, October 21st.
And speaking of COVID, Pat McAfee has tested positive for COVID, and he sadly will miss SmackDown tomorrow, so that's unfortunate. He's been giving updates on Twitter.
He has.
So he's doing okay right now. I think he's fighting it and fighting it hard, but
He's been vaxxed and everything. It happens, so.
It's just, yeah, it just sucks.
It sucks, but do your part. Next.
And last, but certainly not least, in terms of WWE stories, the biggest story of the week, and we've already kind of talked about it, but we're going to talk about it again, is that Brock Lesnar has signed a brand spanking new contract with WWE. It will be through WrestleMania 39. It entails 8 matches across that time period, with obviously more available if they decide they want to pay him for more.
So the Crown Jewels, the WrestleManias, probably the Royal Rumbles, and the SummerSlams going forward.
Yeah. So that's an interesting deal. It's not surprising that they brought Brock back now that crowds are back, now that they're trying to get more of a foothold again. They're bringing back some of their bigger stars. So, you know, we'll see how this goes. It's going to be interesting. I will say this, Brock, honey, get rid of the top knot. You look like an onion.
Leave it.
He looks like an onion!
He's trying to bring out his inner Tim the Tap Man. Let him live. Let Top Knot Brock live his life.
No!
Yes.
He looks stupid.
Leave it. It's awesome.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's
he
the
looks
best.
Like a vegetable.
Let him live his life.
I'm letting him live his life. Just get rid of the stupid hair.
Not, stupid hair is part of letting him live his life.
I'm trying to do him a favor.
He likes his look.
He's like the only one.
Maybe. His wife must love it.
Or she's just not fighting it at this point.
I mean, if she didn't like it, she probably could cut it off in his sleep.
She could, actually. She probably could. I don't know.
It's a look. Let him live.
The beard's fine. The top knot, no.
No.
Honey, no.
The top knot goes with the aesthetic now. Farmer Brock is here to say.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Hipster Farmer Brock.
Hipster Farmer Brock.
Hipster Farmer Brock is here to stay.
Hashtag let him live.
Ugh, God. Okay.
Let him live.
No. Moving on to AEW, because they had some big news this week. That's right, AEW signed Matt Lee and Jeff Parker, a.k.a. Ever-Rise, a.k.a. 2.0, which is a stupid name, to contracts with the company. And that's all that happened. Nothing else happened.
No one debuted.
No one returned.
No, there's more news with that. Congrats to Matt Lee. He had his first child.
Woo! Go Matt Lee! And his wife. Or significant other, in case they're not married. But no, obviously the biggest story in wrestling, the biggest story of the week, the month, the year, is that AEW has pulled off a coup of coups. They have lured the best in the world back to professional wrestling. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. CM Punk has made his return to professional wrestling. The rumors were true. The worst kept secret in wrestling was true. He debuted last Friday on Rampage with AEW. So congratulations to them. They pulled it off.
He gave them gave ice cream bars. If you go to All Out, you'll have to pay for those ice cream bars now. First time was free. Second time, you have to pay for them. Talk about people now. Hey, if you sold your wrapper on eBay, you can now buy more ice cream bars at the venue.
That's so stupid, y'all. Like, I saw one going for $500.
Yeah.
$500. You're paying $500 for a used ice cream wrapper. He didn't even touch it. He didn't even lick it. Like, literally, he didn't. It's just a wrapper. Like, I could understand paying, like, getting one of the ice cream bars that maybe he sampled and it has CM Punk's DNA all over it. And so you're paying $500 for the possibility of cloning CM Punk, even though he might come out as an ice cream bar. Like, I get that, okay? I understand that.
No. See, what you do, you pay the $500 for the ice cream bar wrapper now, then you take that ice cream bar to the venue, you get him to sign it, and then you re-auction that one off for double the profit.
No!
Yeah!
Oh my God, no! It's gonna be sticky as shit! Like, nobody's gonna wash it! It's gonna be gross, it's gonna be sticky, and we're not assured that all of that stickiness is ice cream, okay?
CM Punk will be taking on Darby Allin and All Out on September 5th. Call your local cable providers to watch the return of CM Punk to the ring. He's drawn in numbers for them. We'll see if it lasts. But the best in the world, CM Punk is back.
You're just gonna glaze right over that, aren't you?
Yes, I was moving us along.
You weren't going to touch that because we all know what happened. I promise you at least one person.
Oh, I know.
Get it.
See, me trying to be the professional and move us along so we're not talking about that. But now you're giving mental images to the people listening at home.
What? It's just like a tube stock except plasticier.
Woo. The Nature Boy Ric Flair is returning to the NWA this weekend for NWA 73.
Speaking of, you know, wet things.
That he may or may not have done. Woo.
What I love about that whole controversy is, like, he's like, the Nature Boy don't ride trains. Like, he's like, that's not something I would ever do or have ever done. Oh, no. He doesn't deny that. No. He's like, no, I don't ride trains. That wouldn't happen on a train. No. He is a classy gentleman. He likes to go down, as it were, on airplanes or in limos or wherever the hell he is. Like, he is a classy gentleman. He does not do that in trains. And I'm sure he has done that many a time in an airplane or a limo.
Or even a train.
I don't know. I don't think a train. I mean, it could be him. It's
you mean back in the 80s when they probably were taking some trains some places? He probably did it in a train.
At least once.
Probably wearing the conductor's hat. And only the conductor's hat. Woo.
Woo, woo. And with that, we're going to take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all things NXT.
The name of the song is called Light Back. So.
It gets better. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Mm-hmm.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Bang! Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight to Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw post show, Monday nights 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Available now. The Rack Extra reviews Madden NFL 22. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Get in the game now with the Rack Extra reviews Madden NFL 22.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
WWE Superstar Natalya, and you're listening to The Rack Radio Show.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and subscribe. It really is that simple. You can also follow us, you can hang out and chat, or you can listen to the archive if you're not listening live. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, tweet of the week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Ash, if you think that this segment is going to deliver you from the ice cream sandwich segment, you're so wrong. Men who play tank are literally so hot, I can't explain it. Cypher PK responds with a gym shot of himself, and she replies, sorry, you don't play tank. She just blocked him. NZXT, content warning. The actions of this video contain material that may be harmful or traumatizing to some audiences. Your discretion is advised, and is literally somebody clearing the gold pins off of a processor chip.
Okay.
Like, just, it hurts your soul to look at. Dr. Lupo replies, Chip looks nice and clean now. I think I need to clean mine too. Like this too, right, Intel Gaming? And then ZXT replies, don't forget the paste! And it's literally like an ice cream machine with, you know, going on to the chip. And it's just like, oh. Whips replies, I need a free PC after watching this one. And ZXT goes, maybe when you're verified. Ouch. Brian Sharon, AEW may have CM Punk, but Arby's has the meat. Renee Paquette, I don't know what bussy means. Should I just Google it or follow-up tweet? Oh, for those of you that don't know what bussy means, bussy is British slang for butt. So somebody had a sign at SummerSlam that says, SummerSlam my bussy. And what they were really saying is, SummerSlam my ass. And it made TV like 6 times. I'm so proud of that person.
Okay.
Nick Merckx tweets out a video of him at the beach with his wife, and he says, happy wife, happy life. Dr. Lupo, why don't you take me nice places anymore, huh? Ricardo Lesma goes, you don't put out anymore. Lupo responds, bullshit. Ricardo Lesma goes, videos or it never happened. Albert, hashtag a day off Twitch, goes, hot, sexy daddy? Swift goes, no. And finally, Beth Phoenix, in reference to Edge doing the brood entrance at SummerSlam. Does this mean our children are glampires?
Yes.
Yes. 1000% yes, Mom. Okay. I'm done.
Someone tweeted Indy Hartwell, where's Theory? He's somewhere out there, half naked in the wilderness.
I mean, it's not a lie.
Io Shirai, the only thing that matters to me is I have this title. It's a picture of holding the women's tag title. Indy, wait until you find love, Io.
She's just a big ball of love. She's trying to help everybody.
Shaza McKenzie. I wore a CM Punk t-shirt to my first day of wrestling school, and I thought it would make people realize I was a quote-unquote real fan. Not a dumb girl there to date wrestlers. Anyway, now I'm married to a wrestler, so you win some, you lose some. Yep.
It happens. I mean, maybe the shirt got her husband. We don't know.
We don't know. Sir Robert Stone. Whoever made the gif of me missing my dive by an inch last night is a monster, as my 4-year-old twins are watching it all day and laughing at me. To make it matters worse, after the longest day of my life yesterday, my wife made me walk our chihuahua at 1 a.m. while I was there, still barefoot, pain. Carmella, watching Family Feud with WWE Graves. I am Steve Harvey goes, name something that rhymes with cube. Graves. Ice.
Get it?
Ice, cube, raps, rhymes. Thing. Variety tweets out, Mike Richards is out as the host of Jeopardy, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Daily Show goes, what a huge fuck up. Sorry, what is a huge fuck up? John Pollock, Edge went to a deep, dark place. WWF The Music, Volume 3.
I mean, not a lie. Not a lie.
Al Snow, Jessica, I can't take his dad jokes anymore. Me, you can take them and bring them back, LOL. Therapist, leave him. Bush Beer tweeted, how to become a professional wrestler. A thread. Give up and drink Bush on the porch. Pabst Blue Ribbon. Heel turn. Tweet a week.
Alrighty. So now, y'all, we are going to talk all about NXT TakeOver and a little bit of NXT this week, which NXT took place this past Sunday on Peacock in the United States, WWE Network, everywhere else. And I'm going to be completely honest. The show didn't do it for me. It kind of felt like a really amped up take, just regular show.
Yeah.
Like, it was good. It was entertaining, but it just didn't have that.
It was missing something.
It was very anticlimactic in spots.
Part of it could be because we all know what's going on. There are changes coming to the brand that we all love and cherish, and they're going to change the format a little bit, and it's like, you could see the writing on the wall, too. There were people on the show who were no longer going to be part of the brand going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Based on a variety of different things. Them being not in a building like they would be for, like, Brooklyn. They had a Brooklyn or Portland or wherever they've been, Chicago. The big arena also doesn't help the feel of it TakeOver, because as cool as the PC is and how they've transformed what was the just a regular training facility into a television set up for them, it still lacks that big atmosphere. It lacks that. Right now, the hottest things in wrestling are WWE on the road in front of 5 to 10 to 15,000 people, AEW in front of 3 to 6 to 15,000 people. You're used to that big feel, and then when you come back to NXT TakeOver, Like, TV in front of 300 is fine. When you come to TakeOver, it's like, it missed the boat where it's like, this could have been an arena. I know why it's not an arena, but this could have been an arena where it would have felt like a bigger deal. Like, when they did In Your House, that felt cool because it was a themed TakeOver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it had a different set to it. It had a different feel. This didn't even get a name. This just got a number. And that's kind of also part of it, too. It was just, hey, here's our here it is. Like, some of the best takeovers we've seen in the very beginning happened at Full Sail in front of 500 people. Budget cuts. Man, they're not spending money on the brand right now. They're not putting
they're
it
actually
there.
Trying to take money out of the brand.
I'm investing in the building, but I'm not talking headquarters. I'm talking about new setup for the show, but they're keeping them there. They're not trying to sell tickets because they don't, to them, NXT is not a touring brand anymore. It's just a television show. And the show felt like Impact. That's the sad truth to it. It felt like an Impact show where it's in front of a few hundred fans for the big show. It just doesn't do it because the feel's not there anymore. You're missing something. And it sucks because NXT TakeOver was always the highlight of a weekend. It really was. And Sunday felt like, cool, it's wrestling. But we know what's happened with Adam Cole and the whole situation there. And we still don't know where he's headed. He could be on Dynamite next week. He's not going to be on Rampage for anyone who's wondering. He's not going to be on Rampage tomorrow. But his contract is up tomorrow.
Supposedly
is up tomorrow. Whether he's re-signed a new one, who knows. But the extension ends tomorrow. Or in, I guess, an hour and 20 minutes. So you know he's leaving. Karrion Kross is moving up to the main roster to become the superstar he was always destined to be. Most polite way to say that. I don't know. It's not to say what we saw Sunday wasn't good, because there was a lot of good stuff on the show. It just didn't feel as important as it should have.
And I think that was by design.
Yes, 100%.
That was, yeah. Because it's like, they put SummerSlam on a Saturday, they made sure SummerSlam went first, because WWE with NXT really created their own competition.
It did.
And part of the problem was, especially doing takeovers on the big pay-per-view weekends, is TakeOver would go on a Saturday, and then the main pay-per-view would go on a Sunday, and a lot of times TakeOver, because they had the fresh audience, they would go on first, they were being presented in a specific way. TakeOver was oftentimes a lot better than the main show pay-per-views, and they didn't like that. They didn't like the fact that the people were more into the developmental brand than they were the main show. So WWE really created their own problem with NXT, because they really did create a third brand that could not necessarily compete with the main roster, but was, I would say, on the same level.
Their big shows were on the same level as the main shows.
Then they did it with less matches, less flair, all the other things, because they knew how to produce really good stories with the talent that they had and tell those stories in the proper manner. Whereas the main roster, they don't necessarily always do that. And then along comes, you know, AEW and that whole thing, and NXT lost that, whatever you want to call it, war, fight, battle, whatever. NXT did not prevail. And so now they've pulled back on it. COVID also hasn't helped it. So it's like, okay, all right, we're going to take it back to where it was 5, 6, 7 years ago, when it was, you know, at Full Sail and it was young developmental talent, and they're going to start developing talent. Because part of the problem, too, is if you hold people down in NXT like they've been doing and you tell all the stories in NXT, then they get up into the main roster and they don't have those stories to tell, and people aren't necessarily as into the characters, so that's part of the problem. Also, WWE wasn't getting all the talent from NXT. They were holding people down there, like Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa did not want to go up. They wanted to stay in NXT. They've held Adam Cole down there for a really long time, in part because he wanted to stay, but also in part because they wanted to keep him.
So the biggest takeaway from what was the original purpose of NXT brought us a lot of big names. It brought us Cesaro, brought us Sami Zayn as they came as independent workers and sort of made their way up. I know Cesaro started the main roster, but he went back down to NXT, worked his way back up. Sami Zayn came in, Kevin Owens came through NXT. But the biggest legacy that we're going to get from NXT is Baron Corbin. No, kidding. By the way, he's doing awesome stuff on Twitter. Follow him. Is the women, the four horsewomen. came through NXT, the original, I guess, the second version of NXT, because first version was a reality show on Sci-Fi. But they were the women who came in and delivered the era, and they were the ones who made, while the men were having show-stealing matches, so were the women. You got to see the rise of Bayley and Sasha Banks and that whole feud. You got to see the rise of Charlotte Flair and Becky trying to find herself. And those were stories they told on the original NXT. So people will say NXT was a failure and the Performance Center was a failure. And those people are dead fucking wrong, because the women's division has benefited completely from the Performance Center era. The men have... You've had some good ones. Some of them, again, people, you can say failures or not, but Miro Rusev was a positive for the WWE brand for a while until things happened and he was no longer a focus, and now everyone's claiming he's in a better position in AEW because he's holding a title, but whatever. You had Bray Wyatt, and Braun Strowman came through Performance Center era, and all these people, it's worked.
Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Like, all these people that you have sitting at the top, it's like a lot of them came through the Performance Center or came through FCW and were there as FCW transitioned over to NXT. They were a part. A lot of them were the building class that helped to create that whole system and helped to rebuild that whole system. And a lot of those people, some of them have left and gone or been fired, but some of them are sitting at the top of the divisions. Some of them are at the top of the company and they're the face of the company.
Or as they call themselves, the head of the table.
Acknowledge him. Anyway. So yeah, I mean, you can't say the Performance Center was a failure or is a failure, because it's not.
No, but
the
people
Performance
are.
Center does its job. It creates talent. It creates an opportunity for the main roster to take somebody and make them a star.
So you mentioned how, you know...
Wait. I'm not done. Just hold on. Okay. I'm gonna stop you. The failure, in some cases, in a lot of cases, is not the PC. It is the creative. It is when they take that person... Because really, what NXT's original job to accomplish was to take somebody, get them a following, get them a name, get people behind them, and get them used to the WWE way of doing things, so that way when they went to the main roster, it wasn't a culture shock. Because that was the biggest problem with developmental, was you had people down in developmental and it was like this piece of crap setup where you were wrestling in front of maybe 25 to 200 people, depending on the venue, and you didn't have the same entranceway, you didn't have the same crowds, you didn't have the same production, you didn't have anything. So what they did with NXT and the big investment was that they literally duplicated to the best of their abilities the Raw and SmackDown environments and how it's done there. So when people went up to the main roster, it wasn't that difficult for them to transition. And they put them on TV so they could get them a following. So, you know, when your Becky Lynch's and your Roman Reigns and your Seth Rollins and your Bray Wyatt's and your Bo Dallas's all go up, it's like, oh, hey, that, you know, so-and-so from NXT, I know who they are. And then that gives the main roster the opportunity to then take that person and grow them. And you don't necessarily have to do the introductory thing. Where the system failed was that creative, they were, especially recently, have been repackaging people. They were changing the gimmicks. They were changing the names. They were changing everything about the characters. And they flounder, because it's like you get something going in NXT, you develop it, you flush it out, because they do have a lot of freedom to do that down there. And so you have it all figured out more or less by the time you get up to the main roster. And they're like, yeah, no, that shit that brought you to the dance? Nah, we're not going to do that. We're going to make you do this. And then it fails.
And part of it is because some of it worked and some of it always didn't work. Not everything was perfect in NXT. Not all the gimmicks were perfect. We'll give you Ascension, for example. The gimmick didn't have legs anywhere.
Mm-mm. No, the gimmick was they were a dominant tag team in NXT. They squashed everybody. You know, it's like the same thing with Authors of Pain. They were cool, but what really hurt them was the fact that they lost Ellering when they went to the main roster, because he didn't want to tour.
Yeah.
He has a day job. Like, he didn't want to go on the road, so they lost a manager. And they never found them another manager to really work with until Drake Maverick. And then they just completely, just messed that up by having him piss himself in the middle of the ring.
That, and then they suffered injuries and that sort of derailed them.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, it's like it's not always creative, but a lot of times if you look at, like, people's success rates, it's like just the gimmicks that they're given at the start. it just doesn't work. And in part, it's because you can only do so much with what you're given.
But then that's also up to the talent to fight back. Some people, like, who want to control their gimmick and get it and do something, have to step up and fight for their spot. Like, that's a thing.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. But it's like, that's not always well received. And so I think some people don't do it because a lot of people are like, I just want to keep my job. I just want to, you know, earn a paycheck. And so they're not willing to fight back, or they just get shot down because it's like the levels that you have to go through in management. I'm not saying it's all creative's fault or all management's fault, but they have their blame in this as well, because it's not always the talent's fault. Like, you can give somebody the worst or the best gimmick in the world, and they can make the worst or the best of it that they can. And if it doesn't get over and they're doing their best with it, that's not necessarily their fault, because their hands are somewhat tied in what they're able to do.
And you brought up how they went out and made their own competition, right? That mm-hmm. was sort of their biggest failure and also their biggest success. Did it draw great when you brought in Shinsuke Nakamura and Finn Balor and took the show on the road? Yeah, it was great. It made for great television and great character development. And those guys have had success up on the main roster. Whether you say Shinsuke was hurt or not, to the degree, he won a Royal Rumble. He got a title shot at WrestleMania. He's working consistently on television. He's also beat up from wrestling in Japan. So you have to, everyone has to realize that at some point.
Finn got derailed because they had Finn strapped to the rocket ready to go, and then he just messed his shoulder up and he had to give up the title, and he was out for a year, and then he could just never get his footing back under him after that.
To the main event level, no, but he was, you know, a good mid-card act for them for a long time and will continue to be an upper mid-card main eventer for them. He's in a great spot. Big E's going to be in a great spot for them, and he came straight from developmental. Like, mm-hmm. there's so much good that's come out of it, and they're going back to where they were 5 years ago, because they have to refresh that. They have to start over. They have to rebuild the pool of talent, because they brought in a lot of indie talent to compete. Now they're no longer competing. Now they're back to focusing on developmental, and the show's going to change. Some of the talent that had their biggest success were also having 20-minute matches, and when you get to the main roster, it's 5 to 7. That's where we are. Like, they brought up some great tag teams along the way, whether people like it or not. Injuries derailed, you know, American Alpha at the end of the day. That broke them up. Jason Jordan is out for good because of injuries. You've had people like Otis, who's had success, as much success as he wants to. No, but he's going to be a solid talent for them. There's a team that was on the top of my head, Revival. Revival, like, were really good for them. And then they just got burnt out on the WWE because a couple of young bucks got in their ear. And then Enzo and Cass, who were developmental projects, both of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were going to be the biggest stars in the world for the WWE, and they couldn't keep their personal shiznit out of the way. They were the next New Age Outlaws. And yeah, so. So NXT is going to a new era, which is why this show felt lackluster. In a
round. Bring it all the way back around.
But there was good things on the show. Like, legitimately good things on the show. Rich Holland beating Trey Baxter in the pre-show. Eh, it was a squash match. Was what it was. Out of the series of matches Cameron Grimes and LA Knight had for the $1 million title, this was hell of a match.
This was actually exceptionally entertaining.
Before we get to the match, bedazzled Trunks.
Can we just talk about how Cameron did like a strip tease like before he came out? Like, he comes out with Ted and there's a $1 million trash can with like money dollar bill signs on it. And Cameron's like, Ted's like, all right, go ahead. Remove the butler, right? Release the butler into the wild. And so Cameron literally stands there in front of everybody and strips and gets into his bedazzled $1 million man inspired gear. Which was amazing.
This was the best match they've had. You can tell they've been working a little bit. And they've got a lot of good chemistry with one another. They had a fantastic match on the show. And you also got to see Ted DiBiase pull out some tricks.
Well, you knew he was gonna. Like, when he threw out the step of, or when the step got thrown out of, Cameron won't be my butler, you will, pointing at Ted DiBiase. It's like, oh, Cameron's winning because Ted ain't gonna have none of that. He's not gonna do that. No, 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 no.
So Ted had the belt, used the belt as a distraction. He was able to lock in the $1 million dream at one point on LA Knight, tossed him in the ring. Then Cameron took out LA Knight. It was It was great.
I really like this because you finally got to see Cameron go a little bit again. You got to see LA Knight go a little bit. Because, like, the first match they had was just...
Wasn't it a ladder match?
It was a ladder match.
And it was clunky. It was very clunky. Yeah.
This was much more straightforward. This was much more easy for them. I liked this. It was simple. It was to the point. They had a really good match, at least in my opinion. Is it a million-dollar classic? No, probably not. But it was the best the two of them have looked so far. And I like this. And it went about 16 minutes. So it's like they had a good amount of time on this show. This was your opener. And it set a really nice tone and a really nice pace for the show. I mean, I thought this was great. And in the end, Cameron Grimes was victorious. He was the $1 million championship. Ted has since
so on NXT
taken it back.
So on NXT they did a whole celebration, and you know, it was Ted's sign off from NXT. They did a whole celebration in the ring, and then Cameron's now going to go straight to the moon.
Bye-bye.
And then Cameron was helping him to his limo, and they're saying goodbye, and then he's giving back the belt because he doesn't need the belt. And then Ted's like, no, you totally should be the champion. And, you know, so he took the belt Cameron gave him, gives it right back. And then Cameron's feeling the belt around. Wait a minute. What does this say? Replica?
Yeah, he's like, this doesn't feel right. Like, the weight, something's not right about this. And he's looking at it, and then it's like WWE shock replica. And Ted DiBiase laughs, and he speeds off with the title. Damn DiBiase!
So it was a nice full circle of, hey, he messed with Cameron Grimes to start, messed with him in the end. It's a send-off for Ted DiBiase, because they don't need the belt anymore. It was a great storyline that came full circle. This was the perfect example of really good storytelling from beginning to end.
And it was the really good use of a legend,
mm-hmm,
where he was involved, but it didn't necessarily center around him completely. Like, it centered around him at the start, and then they did the first match, and then it kind of became, you know, LA Knight and Cameron Grimes' story, and then LA Knight turns on DiBiase, and Cameron Grimes becomes the good son to Ted DiBiase and stands up for him and fights for him, and it just... solidifies, you know, LA Knight is the heel, Cameron Grimes is the babyface, Ted DiBiase realizes the errors of his ways and that he should have backed Cameron Grimes, and so he backs Cameron against LA Knight, and they come together, and it's basically they come head-to-head to free Cameron Grimes, and he does it. And Cameron overcomes, and he succeeds, and he wins, and, you know, he gets screwed in the end by Ted DiBiase, but that's what happens when you mess with Ted DiBiase. Like, this was the perfect way to do this, and I really liked it, because it was very, very effective in getting both LA Knight and Cameron Grimes over.
Whereas Kyle O'Reilly calls him La Knight.
La Knight, yes. La Knight!
All right, that's next.
Up next, we have... in what was not a wonderful showing, not a terrible showing, but it just was not wonderful. Raquel Gonzalez defending the NXT Women's Championship against Dakota Kai. This was not a good showing.
See, I thought it was a very solid, pretty good match. You weren't the biggest fan.
I didn't particularly care for this, and I don't know why I didn't particularly care for this. It just felt awkward in spots to me. It felt just a little off.
Raquel was selling a lot, which is weird for her, and it's something she hasn't done a lot of. Now that she's a babyface, she has to sell more. She was selling the arm, and there were some spots where, you know, it looked like she was struggling with the press slam with Dakota, but it was her selling the arm. It was a lot of arm selling, which made a lot of the offense look weird and kind of clunky as she was trying to sell. Like, she's learning. She's the biggest developmental project they have right now that you can tell they really want to push.
Yeah, I think it wasn't bad. Like I said, this didn't click for me. And I think it showed that Raquel still needs a lot of work.
But on the flip side, Dakota looked really good.
Dakota looked fantastic. Like, Dakota did a great job, and Dakota was in there trying to sell for her. Like, I think my biggest issue at the end was Dakota's, like, curled up in a ball in the corner like she'd just been fucked really hard. And she didn't like it. So, like... I that yeah, was my yeah. think my one big issue with it is Dakota, like, they're both looking at each other, and Dakota's like, sorry, I won't do it again.
I still don't get the back thing. I just still don't get it. We're gonna complain about it every time I see Raquel. I don't get the back thing. I guess the people have a back fetish, but...
Well, she's trying to show off her triceps. Is that it? Her triceps or something, whatever her back muscles are. Like, that's what she's trying to show off, but it's just like, it just doesn't...
It's weird. It's totally weird. It's disturbing at some point. But I like the finish. I like the super powerbomb thing, or whatever she did, chokeslam thing, Uranagi, whatever. And for the win, it was cool. She caught the kick, brought her up, and dropped her. It was really good. I really enjoyed the finish.
Yeah, and obviously, I think this is Dakota's send-off in NXT. We'll see.
She'll make a really good main roster woman to get other people over.
Yeah, she will be really good for that. Like, it just didn't resonate with me. That's my only thing. Like, I think I was expecting something completely different, and I didn't get it, and that's where my issue is, because I was almost halfway expecting Raquel to come in and be just completely dominant, and even though I think I wanted Dakota to win, like, I was halfway expecting Raquel to just come in and just kill Dakota, because that's the way that they had sort of built this. Is that, you know, it's Raquel was super pissed, and so it's like, okay, I'm just going to beat the shit out of you kind of thing, and she's big enough and she's strong enough and she's jacked enough that it's like, yeah, she should be able to do that. Like, she should just be able to take Dakota, snap her in half, and beat her. Even though Dakota's certainly not a weakling and she can hold her own and she can't fight, like, but it's like she should have had, you know, it's like there shouldn't have been, I guess, as much offense for Dakota as what there was for me.
It's weird when the babyface is the bigger person. In the back.
Yeah.
By that substantial margin. Because the offense always comes off a little weird. Unless you're really working the body part. Which she did. She worked the submissions well. But I can see why it didn't resonate. Because it's hard. It's also hard to get help behind Raquel as the baby face. Because it's brand new.
Yeah. They just turned her face. So it's just a little awkward.
Will Dakota ever win a singles championship on the main roster?
Maybe.
There's always a chance. As we've seen with Nikki A.S.H.
I can see that Dakota's role for a while will be like a sidekick for somebody, because that's kind of where they've positioned her. And so I think, unfortunately for Dakota, it's going to be the situation of she will be always be the bridesmaid, never the bride type situation for a while.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think a lot of people would have liked to have seen her win the title in NXT, and they just never got there with her.
Timing was always off.
Yeah.
But
there's always somebody else that kind of came in front of her.
She could be the next Natty, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Like, she's super talented. She's a great hand to have in the ring. And you can always renew the rivalry with Tegan on the main roster, and it'll be fine. So you'll always have that story to tell. But yeah, they're not going to bring her up and she's going to win the championship on her first night. Like, that's not going to happen. But she may get to it eventually.
After the match, Kaylee Ray has made her NXT US official appearance.
So that's interesting. So I kind of wonder if now they're going to start having UK be a feeder system for the main NXT.
Which has been the plan from the beginning.
Yeah, where it's like you build these people up in UK and then they bring them over if they want to come over, and they have them work here, and then eventually they go up to the main roster. Because UK is a little tricky, because obviously there are people there, including somebody that we're about to talk about, that don't necessarily want to come over to the United States permanently. Like, they're okay with working in the US, but they kind of want to go back and forth, and just with COVID and the travel restrictions, it's really difficult for them to. So,
but the pandemic put a halt to some of the plans, because NXT is supposed to be the developmental brand worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to have different bases around the world, and then they would feed in to the main US one over time. That's sort of the plan. It's localizing talent for different worldwide regions is the next plan for WWE. The pandemic put a halt to it for a while, but that is the plan, to localize it in India, UK, Japan, China, wherever they can get their feet into, and build talent there and drive up like revenue and television deals there, and then bring the talent over. That is kind of the plan going forward. Kaylee Ray, accomplished everything she wanted in NXT UK. I believe she just got married. They've now moved to the US. She's now here full time.
And let's see how she goes, because if she's even half as dominant as what she was over there, should be a good time.
And she'll be the first challenger for Raquel, it seems. Or the next challenger, I should say.
And we're all fine with that. We're all
there for it.
We're all here for it. And speaking of UK, the rematch of apparently the 5-star classic for the NXT UK Championship is here. And it's Ilya Dragunov facing Walter for the title. Walter has been champion for 800 plus days. And nobody has been able to beat him.
No one's been able to beat him. They put on a slugfest, a wrestling battle.
Oh God, Ilya's chest.
Yeah.
His chest
from that entire week just sort of exploded.
Walter, honey, you gotta like be nicer with those hands. I mean, I know it's like your main thing, but like, dude, you burst blood vessels. Multiple. It looked painful. Like, Ilya's chest, no shit, especially like right up around his neck where he'd been grabbed a bunch of times, was like black and blue and bruised. Like, it just looked ridiculously painful.
This was good. I wasn't overwhelmed like other people were and with it saying it was a classic. It was good. Part of it for me is character investment. Wrestling is all about character investment, as we document a lot. And Dragunov, I don't know who he is. I don't watch NXT UK. I've seen him a couple times here and there, but it's like, he could put on a good wrestling match, great. But to buy into a story, I couldn't. I wasn't there for it. I just couldn't get into it for whatever reason. I enjoyed the match, was surprised at how the finish went, and yeah, I wasn't blown away like the internet was, because I like a little bit more storytelling, more wrestling.
For me, yeah, it's like, I'm familiar enough with Walter that it's like, okay, I understand the physicality and the way that people talk up the first match.
We've seen him enough to know him.
Yeah, it's like, we've seen him enough to know him, and it's like, the way people talked up the first match, and this is on me, I should have gone and watched the first match before the pay-per-view. I just didn't have time or the energy, because I've been sick for like 3 weeks now. And so, for me, it didn't, again, this was another one that just didn't quite resonate with me. Like, I thought it was good. I thought it was entertaining, but I just, again, I don't have the familiarity with Ilya Dragunov to really like invest in the match. And mm-hmm. for me, it was a little weird because of just the size difference and the height difference. Cause it's like, for me, there are people that I know that Walter has faced that are far more, at least in my mind, badass than Ilya Dragunov. And again, that's just a familiarity thing. I'm sure he's just absolutely epic and amazing and awesome and all the things. I just don't know him yet. And so, like, to me, it's like the fact that this is the guy that's going to take the title off of Walter and end the 800 plus day reign was a little difficult to take. Especially since he tapped him in what felt like really quick fashion at the end of the match.
Yeah, but it was weird, but it was enjoyable. I will say that.
Like, it wasn't bad. I thought it was very good. It's just, for me, it's a little bit harder to get into the more classic style wrestling matches because that's just not what I'm into in terms of wrestling. I just didn't come up watching that kind of stuff. So for me, it's like, everybody's like, oh my God, this is amazing. And it's like, yeah, it's physical and it's good and I like it. I just, to me, it's like, I don't know the execution of the moves well enough to know if they're doing them necessarily right or wrong. It's like, I can tell when something is like egregiously wrong. But like beyond that, if it's like, you know, technically correct or not, I couldn't tell you that because I don't know that. But yeah, this was fine. I thought this was good. I do want to go back and watch the first one just to kind of like compare.
Mm-hmm.
And also the flip side too is we didn't have the full build of this match to fully like invest in it.
Yeah.
And I think that
takes away some of the oomph out of watching it, especially after watching SummerSlam.
Yeah. It's like, I kind of wish that one of the things that they had done for this match, and they did do it towards the end, but like one of the things, especially building to it, once they announced that it was going to be on the show, was that they brought some of the build, or I should say more of the build than what they did, onto the main part of NXT. And I understand that they can't necessarily do that because that involves getting Walter and Ilya into the States. And they weren't planning to do that until right before the pay-per-view because of travel and COVID and everything like that. But it's like, I kind of wish that they had like done more with it to build it, even if it's just replaying like NXT UK.
Also, or it's like...
Also, when Dragunov lost to Pete Dunne, it kind of took some of the wind out of it.
Yeah, that hurt it as well, because it's like, well, this is the dude that Walter beat, and he just beat the dude that's going to beat Walter.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that Ilya Dragunov cannot beat Pete Dunne, but he's going to beat Walter.
It was weird.
And with a submission. It was weird. It was very weird. So... But I thought it was good. It was fine.
What's next?
Up next, we have... And another weird one. Like, the middle... Like, the opening match was really good, and then everything else was a little weird and a little off. That's kind of where, like, our opinion of the show is basing. It was Kyle O'Reilly taking on Adam Cole in what is, like, technically a 2 out of 3 falls match.
And it was.
The three labors of Kyle O'Reilly?
Best out of 3 falls, 2 out of 3 falls, 3 stages of hell, whatever you want to call it. I'm called Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle won the first fall in less than 4 minutes, which was very surprising.
It was really quick.
It was really quick. It was like, okay, I see what you... Okay, you're going to go get this, the easy one out of the way, then you're going to really pick it up with a street fight. And they beat each other's ass in the street fight. And again, it just... I don't know. Something about it fell off because you're looking for... more. You're looking for this big fiery fight, and they did stuff, and they were beating the hell out of each other. It just, I don't know, it was missing something. I think part of it was an intense crowd to get really behind it. There was a point where they both had chains wrapped around their fists and ready to go attack each other. That
yeah,
was
like
cool.
That was a cool spot, and they one brained it, and it's like you're expecting like this massive pop for when they do that, and it's just not there.
For this feud, this missed the big crowd because this was the blow off. So you really want that big intense crowd, and the crowd in the PC was good, but it wasn't. It's not 1,000 people. It's not 2,000 people. It's 300 people. So you're missing the volume of intensity from a crowd because crowds, as we've seen in the entire performance era, Thunderdome era. Make a match.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start battling in the cage, and it's like, okay, we're gonna get there. We're starting to move. All right, he's got the handcuffs on him, and we're gonna see the beatdown of Kyle O'Reilly with he's handcuffed to the rope. Okay, cool. This is gonna get violent. This is gonna get good. They got plenty of time left. This is gonna go 3 hours. We got plenty of time. And then he got him in the heel hook and tapped him out, and Kyle won while locked in handcuffs.
I will say that what was nice was you had the doctors checking on, I think, Kyle or Adam as the cage was coming down.
Yeah, you were checking on Kyle.
And they had to get the doctors out of the ring. Like, basically, Adam Cole threw the medical staff out of the ring and was like, we're going to end this once and for all. Like, that was a nice part of this. And you and I kind of talked about this afterwards. I think Brent was there with us, but I'm not sure. Part of what made this somewhat lackluster is because the first one was so good and so violent. Like, it was to the point that both of them left on stretchers, right? Like, both of them.
The second
one. Just
one. It was the second one, wasn't it?
Or, I'm sorry, the second one. Yeah, the second one. They both...
No, wait, what was it?
No, it was the first one.
It was the first one, yeah.
Because they were both gone for, like, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That they left on stretchers, and it was so violent and so well done, and the story was just really perfect in it, and the build for it was perfect, that anything really after that is going to feel somewhat lackluster if they don't go to that level or beyond. And I understand why they're not willing to go to that level and beyond with this, because it's technically Adam Cole's last match in NXT. Could be his very last match in the company. So if he's going up to the main roster, they don't want to risk him getting injured. If he decides to sign a new deal, they don't want to see Kyle get hurt because they're looking to push Kyle in the main event. And I think it was just, we are just going to do this as the blow off, right? Like, this is literally the last match. We're going to give you guys 25 minutes because it was 25 minutes. So they got a little bit less than 10 minutes per fall.
And here's the thing. I was expecting 40 minutes. Like, going into this is like, okay, they got plenty of time. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, and that was the other thing is I think because the other ones had gone like 40, 45 minutes that we were all ready to sit in and enjoy, and that's not what happened, is we got about 25 minutes for this, which is a lot of time, but not necessary for a 2 out of 3 falls match, especially when they go for the first one really, really quickly, which I think everybody doesn't like. Like, I hate that. I hate when they do the first fall, like, within the first few minutes of the match. It's like, oh, come on, really? You haven't done enough to beat him down yet. Like, come on, really? 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 We're going to do this? Okay. So, I mean, it was good. Don't get me wrong. Like, Kyle tapping Adam in the handcuffs was, like, amazing. But I think all of us, or at least Rock and I, shouldn't say, I don't speak for the entirety of the internet.
But if Rock, if we did, the internet would be a much better place.
I don't know about that. like, at least for myself, and I think for Rock 2, that it just was a little bit lackluster just because the falls were awkwardly timed and kind of awkwardly placed, and the violence level was not appropriate for what this should be. But also, again, this was just, we're going to get 3 out of this. Okay. Even though you could have really ended it at 2.
I'll put it like this. The blood feud didn't end the way a blood feud should end.
No.
They did more violent things in the build-up than they did in the match. Throughout this entire feud. We've had people handcuffed and arrested. We've had people trying to end people's careers. This ended in a basic steel cage match with no real blood. It ended in submission. It ended with two wrestlers wrestling. They fought, but it was, and in the end, it ended with a wrestling hold in the middle, middle of the ring, tapping someone out, not losing blood, not passing out. The blood feud ended without the blood feud ending. What makes some other 3 stages of hell good is it's a bloody fight until the end, and you finally win the war. Kyle won the war, but it didn't feel like it because, the Cole thing just sort of like his contract stuff coming out kind of killed this match because you knew Kyle's winning. That hurt it too.
This match was really hard to get into, and the main event was really hard to get into because you knew that Adam Cole was potentially not staying. You knew for sure Adam Cole was not staying in NXT, that this was going to be his last match. And then it's like, is he leaving the company? Is he not leaving the company? And I think that kind of overshadowed things just a little bit because it's like knowing that he's like leaving potentially permanently makes the timing of the match almost make sense, where it's like they're not going to go to specific degrees just to protect people, which they should, right? Like if Adam's going up to the main roster and they're going to debut him on Raw or SmackDown, this, you know, whenever they're ready to, you don't want him to get hurt. You don't want him to get injured in his last match of NXT, because then it's like now he's potentially signed this brand spanking new contract and they have to pay him to sit at home, which is not what anybody wants. So it makes sense that they protected Adam and they protected Kyle because they don't want the same thing for Kyle. They're like, they don't want Kyle to get hurt and then they have to pay him to stay at home, especially when they've done all this work to build Kyle up as a singles wrestler. I don't think this necessarily did Kyle a lot of favors in terms of giving him the rub and giving him the final victory over Adam Cole and essentially banishing Adam Cole from NXT. I think they kind of redeemed him a little bit on Tuesday because they had him come out and challenge Joe, which, by the way, I low-key screamed when Rich Holland came out for Joe because I thought it was Walter, and I suddenly pictured Walter and Joe in my head, and I was very much about that, and then I realized it was Rich Holland, and I was somewhat disappointed. Anyway, back to the point. This was good. Like, I'm not saying this was bad. This was good. This was actually very good. But it was one of those things that it just didn't feel, it didn't have the same, like, drama to it as what the other ones did.
Again, crowd intensity was needed. And it just, blood was needed. It just missed some elements that a blow-off match for a rivalry this long needed. And,
like,
and that's the thing. And it sucks what it's gonna, like, it sucks that the outside stuff interferes with your enjoyment of wrestling, but Adam Cole's contract is up as Showtime is, 38 minutes?
Yeah.
From now, supposedly.
In theory, so.
And his last WWE commitment was apparently could have been him with Mattel. Which was pre-taped. So, where he goes, nobody knows. Does he resign? He could. He could be on AEW on Wednesday. He's going to be a free man in 38 minutes, so.
The world is literally his oyster right now, and that's a great place to be for him. Like, you know, he could sign with WWE, he could sign with AEW, he could go back to Japan, he could tell wrestling to fuck off and hang out on Up Up Down Down and be a part of the party. Like, they've got a really sweet gig going on right now with that. He may just want to do that. He may just want to stream on Twitch. Like, he could just say, you know what? I've done everything I want to do in wrestling. I'm good. I want to stay home. I want to play video games. I want to hang out with my friends. And that's that. Like, he could do anything he wants. He could retire and go into obscurity and we never see him again. Like, it's literally whatever he wants to do at this point, which I think is great for him.
Mm-hmm.
But it did, knowing that, did interfere with the enjoyment of this match. It almost feels like they did the feud in reverse, like they did the blood feud ending first.
Yeah.
And because of that, they just could not top it. There was no way, because that would have been the perfect ending to this, is that Kyle and Adam are wheeled out together one last time. Adam never comes back, and Kyle O'Reilly comes out and says, I banished Adam Cole from NXT.
Yeah.
He's gone because of me. And they could still do that, but it just, yeah, I think that's what happened, is they just flipped the feud and they did the one match first. And I kind of wonder if they almost did that match not thinking that there was going to be two more to go with it. And then they kind of had to scramble with it. I don't know. We'll see. But last, but certainly not least, you have another blood feud. Another okay match. And by okay, I mean it was fine. Samoa Joe taking on Karrion Kross for the NXT Championship. I'm going to be real. I expected this to be a shit ton more physical than it actually was. I expected murder.
Okay. My favorite part of this was not even the match. It was before the match. William Regal walked up to Joe and, you know, I gotta be impartial and yada yada yada, thank you for doing what you did, yada yada yada. Kick his ass.
You didn't hear me say that.
You didn't hear that from me, but kick his ass. This match was okay. What this matchup showed is a lot of the limitations Karrion Kross has as a worker. He's good, but bigger guys are harder for him to muscle around, as it were. We'll put it like that. But he got Joe moved, and this was Joe's first singles match in a long, long time. And it showed a little bit. It showed there's been some wear and tear on the body, and he can still get it to move and go as a hell of a performer. But you know, he's probably taking a step back.
Mm-hmm.
From the Joe we remember, this is not him. Age has caught up to him a little bit, but he's still a really good performer.
He was a little winded. He was a little blown up by the end, and I think that's just a conditioning thing, because he has, you know, like the rest of us, put on quite a bit of weight, and so he's trying to work with what he's got. And I think if they can get him back into wrestling condition, not that there's anything wrong with the way he looks, but he just needs to build up his cardio and kind of build up his ring prowess again, I think we will see a completely different Joe, or the Joe of old. Because the one really noticeable thing about this match was that Joe was Joe, but he was not the Joe that we remember him being.
It just sort of, it was missing something. This whole match missed something. And again, Karrion has limitations. He's, okay, I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase what Karrion Kross is.
I didn't like how he walked out. Like, he just walked out. Like, I like that they gave him the black and white one last time, because they're not doing it on the main roster. But him just walking out with the title, no scarlet, no nothing, just, there's no magic behind the entrance based on what we've seen in the past. It just looked very generic.
Okay, I got the best example. And generic is a good phrase. So anyone who's played a WWE wrestling game in the last 10-15 years will know this reference. Is he's the guy you make when you get a creator wrestler. You give him all the big moves, you make him look big and beefy, but there's no personality. Make sense? That's Karrion Kross. Because he has the bald head, you get him the generic tattoos, you put on your creator wrestler, and you bulk him up. That's Karrion Kross. He's your prototypical call.
Yeah, and that's not a knock on him.
It's not a bad thing, but you can see them all over the world.
Yeah, it's more the way that they're making him look, the way that they've done this beautiful job from the onset of him arriving in NXT and making him something really very special. And we've had to sit here and we've had to watch them strip that off of him and strip that away from him to get him ready to go to the main roster. And obviously Scarlett is a big part of that in making the gimmick and really making the entrance work, because she's lip syncing the song. She's being all sultry and sexy. She's, you know, singing Fall and Pray, Fall to Your Knees, you know, whatever the lyrics are. Like, she's doing the whole entrance, and then he kind of comes out behind her, because it's a whole smoke and mirrors thing. That's what makes the entrance really work, is you focus in on her, and then he kind of shows up in the beginning and the end, and then he does his whole screaming thing and everything like that. And that's how the entrance works. But it's like, part of what made them badass was, you know, how they conducted themselves backstage, how Carrion was backstage, and how Scarlett exercised a level of control over him and also gave him, through her influence, a level of brutality that we haven't seen since he's lost her.
Also, he was at his best when he's pure dominant, when he has had to 50-50 with people, and this is even before he lost Scarlett. You saw the weaknesses.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's this, again, we're not trying to knock him, but it's just, it's like the way that they're booking him and the way that they're presenting him. We've just kind of watched all what's really made him attractive get stripped away, and then what's left is you have a very competent individual who knows what he's doing, but it's just he, and this is my biggest complaint about WWE's main roster, is he's just another guy, just like all the other guys, that they slapped in a gladiator outfit. Don't know whose idea it was. I'm not bashing it, but they threw him in a leather bondage-esque outfit and they pushed him out in front of the crowd. And here we are.
That whole look would work with Scarlett, though.
It would totally work with Scarlett. It would 1000% work with Scarlett. Like, you should have. And I hope she's okay, because she's on the inactive list and that's where she's been. So whatever's going on with her, I sincerely hope she's all right. But what would have really made it cool is you have her coming around first, and then you have her kind of threatening people, and then she brings him up, and then she just unleashes him onto the world. Like, that would have been the way to do that, but instead they have him come up without her, and I guess the point was he was supposed to lose until she comes along and saves him from himself, and then he starts winning, which is fine if he's not going back and forth to NXT, but because he's still the champion, he still has the title, and he's going back and forth to NXT, it was kind of a poor judgment choice to do that.
The man's kids, buying toys, action figures, accessories, not talking t-shirts, they're talking action figures. Now you can sell the mask and the little, and the suspender thing as a toy. That's what they're trying to do.
It's like a chess piece. It's not really a suspender, but you could sell.
You know what I mean. It's a toy. That's what they're building. That's why they're making it. And I understand it. Some of it could be designed better, but that's what they're going for, and it's the right move. Doesn't mean it's great. It is the right move, because instead of buying a generic action figure, you get something with accessories, and hey, you could charge more money, and look at that.
Actually, what would be cool is if they kind of do what they, and I think we've talked about this before, especially since they signed the Mattel deal, is that you can buy the generic action figure, but then you can buy, like, the gear and the accessories that go with the action figure.
Oh, you mean an actual creator wrestler action figure?
Yeah.
That would be, that's $1 million idea. They've never done it.
Like, you do that where it's like you have, you know, like your base figure, and then you can buy all the different attires and you can swap out the attires, and they can be, it can be whoever you want, or it's like you buy your generic Karrion Kross attire and you get like the gladiator gear, or, you know, you buy Finn Balor, for example, and you can get like the demon, and you can get the prince, and you can get whatever, you know, like do that where you have your base figure and then you can like swap it out. But what they're trying to do is the people that they have left, they are trying to make everybody marketable. They are trying to make it that, you know, everybody is driving action figure sales, t-shirt sales, merch sales, ticket sales. Like, they are trying to basically make them profitable and money-generating individuals. Why you fired your most successful one, or one of your most
successful ones, I will never know.
Okay. No, I get to say it. Because, again, sense makes none. Anyway,
can I answer LeMans? They're not sacrificing the character. They're going to attempt to improve the character.
They're changing the character. I wouldn't say they're improving it, but they're changing the character. And they're, because here's the thing. Okay, so the Karrion Kross character, as it was, you really can't sell action figures to kids of Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux, especially when she's running around in just basically latex the whole time. And she's either mostly naked, half naked, or in a cat suit.
Hold on, I can disagree with that. Because I give you one answer, one name, Sable. They sold a lot.
Gee, I wonder why. In today's modern day era, though,
they could still sell.
They're not going to do that.
They could, though.
They totally could.
But no, they're not set. They're...
Actually, I'm surprised that they've never done, like, adult, in quotations, WWE toys. And I'm not talking about, like, vibrators and,
they do.
And
they
dildos do. And that kind of thing.
They do, Lindsay. They're called ice cream bars that CM Punk gives away for free.
Well, that's not WWE. That's AEW. But, like...
I know. I just wanted to make it up a point again.
I know. Just to horrify the audience one more time. But, no, I've never... But, like, you know, obviously some of their stuff trends more towards the kinky, you know? Like, you could, you know, appeal to that side. I get they're supposed to be PG and family-friendly, but, you know, you could do, like, WWE-inspired gear.
They would lose the Mattel deal. Anyway, so that was NXT TakeOver. Samoa Joe is your new champion.
Again, like, I thought, like, this would be more physical than it was. Because it's like the build was really good, lives were threatened to be end, and they just kind of went out there and had a wrestling match, but there were limitations. This was obviously Karrion Kross's last match in NXT. He got chanted Jeff Hardy as he left.
Oh, Matt, we're not done. We have a couple more things we got to talk about.
The show was fine. It was entertaining. Was this the best takeover I've ever seen? No.
And if the intern did his job, we would have pick'em results. We don't have any. He didn't do his job.
I didn't win. I tied the eight ball.
No.
Oh, wait, no, that was
no, for this, for takeover. He didn't do his job. He didn't give us results.
I swear, you know, we upgrade him to being a host on WTR and suddenly he's just slacking.
He just forgets his responsibilities. God.
Like, he just doesn't do his job. Like, goddamn, Brent.
That was a good show. It held my attention, but it could have been better. So quick NXT notes. One, you can tell Ridge Holland is going to be one of the focal points of the brand.
Oh, yes. They are pushing the shit out of him.
He beat the hell out of Timothy Thatcher and basically wrote him off of television for a little bit. We know Kaylee Ray is going to be one of the next challengers. I think Frankie Monet wants her piece of the action. Boa lost the match.
Okay, can we just talk about that real quick?
Yeah.
What the hell is the point of Tian Zha?
Don't know.
Like, you did this whole elaborate brainwashing, torture, kinky as shit thing with them where they basically get kidnapped and they're forced to beat each other up and get hit with sticks and all these things, right? And what it does is in the end, the lady makes them into these two badasses that just like beat the shit out of everybody, and somehow Bo was suddenly from the Matrix. But anyway, I digress. And like they were pushing it for a while, and then I'm not sure what happened. I think people got COVID and that kind of like derailed it a little bit, and then they never got it back on track. Like they never did. And then it's like Xia Li has just like completely disappeared.
She's probably
no idea what happened to her.
Main roster probably.
Probably, but like she's gone with no explanation. And then they just have Boa and the main lady. I don't remember her name. No, that's the group name.
Oh, what is her name?
I don't remember her name.
I forget her name off the top of my head.
But like it's just him and her, and then they had him lose. And so it's like, I don't know if they're going to be a tag team. I don't know if he's going to get tortured more. Like, you went through all of this trouble, right? Like, they went through a great amount of trouble to create this group, introduce this group, put it out there, put it together, and it's just sort of like, wah, wah. So I'm not sure what the point of it is. Like, it's kind of weird. Unless they're going to pick up, like, somebody else, and she's going to whip Boa into shape.
I don't know.
Oh, also, thank you, NXT, for the streamer-level service. Because, like, I said it last week, but I actually tweeted it out this week, that Santos's group needs... I didn't say it on air, but Santos's group needs a girl to balance out Hit Row.
They got one.
They got one, man.
She helped them beat Hit Row in the main event of the show.
I tweeted it out at the beginning of the match. By the end of the match, they had a lady friend, so I was like, that is some service.
Electra Lopez, I think is her name.
Mm-hmm.
Carmella Hayes won the breakout tournament.
Good for him.
Good for him. We have some title contenders for Samoa Joseph. Yes, I said Samoa Joseph because that's what Kyle O'Reilly called him. You had Peter Dune and La Knight all looking at it. Ciampa stared at Goldie at one point. So you have a bunch of different challengers for Samoa Joseph going forward.
Give me Walter versus Joe. Just do it.
And the biggest thing to come out of this show, September 14th, the date has been set. The wedding.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. We're getting a wrestling wedding.
Live on television.
I'm so damn excited.
Johnny went to Regal and was like, this can't happen. No, it'll be great. Regal's like, it's going to be great TV. No.
It's going to be terrible TV. It's going to be great TV. You're going to go cuckoo bananas and it'll be wonderful. Like, William Regal is fully looking forward to all of this, as are the rest of us. But I have to give claps to Dexter and Indy, because, like, they're introducing it, right? And you know, Mackenzie Mitchell is reading the invitation out, you know, it's like, and giving everything, and Indy swoons. And Dexter is just standing there, and he just holds out his arm, and he just does the auto catch. Like, he does this frequently, and he's just got it.
Got her.
And then he's staring ahead the whole time, like, not saying a word. And then she pulls him in for a kiss, and he's like, oh yes, okay. And he does the kiss. Like, it's just the automatic things of it. But yeah, the best part is, like, Mackenzie Mitchell's like, so, when's the date? What's going on? Tell us everything, because it's Indy and Dexter together. And Indy kind of looks at Dexter and is like, is he going to talk? Is he actually going to talk? And then he's just like...
Then he whips it out.
He quietly pulls out the invitation and hands it to Mackenzie. He's like, this is so good. Yeah, all you people booing this, booing a wrestling wedding, all of y'all can go to hell, with respect. Because I personally love wrestling weddings, because they're clusterfucks every time. And they're just pure entertainment.
It's great TV.
It's wonderful TV, because we're going to get Candace. I need Candace and Indy dress shopping.
Yes, I want that. With Beth.
Oh, 100% with Beth.
And they'll have a bachelorette party and everything with Beth and all of them. And we need the bachelor party.
Oh my god, a bachelor party would be hilarious.
Need all the things.
All the things. I need all of this. But yes, September 14th, y'all, be prepared. I'm going to get on the air and scream about it, because it's going to be epic. It better be epic.
Better be epic. I think it will be. Can't wait to see the swerves and twists that happen on it.
Because, yeah. I have to wonder if, you know, if Dexter's having them all on, or if he's generally in love. Oh, he's perfected it, Ash. Like, he's done this gimmick since...
The mid-teens of this, you know, the mid-teens.
Yeah, like, this is all he's done, and he's very, very good at it. I don't even think he talked in Impact, did he?
If he did, it was very rare.
Yeah, like, he's got the silent...
No, he may have talked.
I think he talked to Christy.
He talked to Christy Hemme. I think. I don't remember.
That's how he lured her in. Was he, like, flirted with her a little bit, I think?
Yeah. He's more silent here, but he's been a creep since a decade ago.
Yeah, but he's got the facial expressions. So, you know. But yeah, this was NXT was good. It was entertaining.
It was a solid show. We'll see where things go. It was a quick little recap, because we've talked about TakeOver for an hour, so wanted to get some notes in for NXT.
Yes.
But I think we're done.
I think we're done, so you have stuff to plug, so plug away.
Check out the Rack Extra Views Madden NFL 22. EA Sports, it's in the game. Available now, rackradioshow.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's another edition of CB Radio. So we're live on all social media platforms, as well as greatdebate.com. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday, Wrestle Talk Radio. The boys will be back to talk about something, figure it out as we go. Monday night's Raw Special, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to talk all things pro wrestling and probably some other stuff. It's Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The Rack is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and now available on Amazon Music. Dang. Just search the Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle at the bottom of the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKINSOCK or...
Lens M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners.
It's like Jay Blavins, Street Fighter. I don't know if Street Fighter is still in there. But there's a bunch of stuff in the shop. Go use the codes. Buy some stuff. Support the channel.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lens Ward, LNSWRD. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.